Well, very good morning to you all, and a very happy new year to each and every one of you. Rachel and I got back from Scotland on Tuesday, and we had a lovely time away, seeing friends and family, and being back home in our home country. It's particularly nice to see my 6-month-old niece, and to see how she's growing and maturing. So that was good. We had a lovely time, and it's really good to be back here with you. There's one brief notice I'd like to make, and then we'll get into our study for this morning. I understand some of you certainly weren't here, but I gather that a couple of weeks ago Eugene Wu was preaching, and some of the people found some of the things that he had to say to the church surprising and difficult to understand. And so I really just wanted to take a moment to clarify that although I knew the scripture passage that Eugene would be speaking on and his general theme, I had absolutely no idea about the content of what he would actually say. The scripture passage and the subject was entirely Eugene's own choice and in no way was endorsed or encouraged by me. I've yet to actually listen to the sermon, but it's my understanding that this was a sermon that he had in fact previously preached at his own church elsewhere in Hong Kong, and therefore he decided to preach it here, and it was in no way prepared with this church in mind. Eugene has, I believe, preached as ambassador a couple of times previously, and his ministry seems to have been appreciated, and it was entirely on this basis that I invited him to speak as a visiting preacher while I was away on holiday. If any of you would like to speak to me further about anything that he raised, then please do speak to me after the service. And I really do hope that this is reassuring to you if you were here on that occasion and if you were worried or upset or angered by any of the things that he had to say. So now that we've got that out of the way, just to say a couple of things about preaching coming up. So this morning we're going to do sort of a one-off, especially for the new year, so I'm going to use a little bit more stuff on the screen than I would normally, and also rather than expounding a kind of a longer passage of scripture like we normally do, I'm going to be just taking one specific thought from one specific verse and unpacking that for each of us here this morning. It would be good if you could have God's word open in front of you. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5 and I'm going to be focusing particularly on verses 18 to 21, and that's on page 819 of the church Bibles if you'd like to have that open in front of you. If you are new here this morning, let me add my welcome to that which Andrew has already given, and you'll find an outline of the sermon this morning in your service sheets as well, and there's also questions for the home groups which relate to this particular sermon which will be available at the door on the way out. So then, why don't I lead us in a prayer as we come to look at God's word together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks for your word. We want to give thanks that it is indeed a light to our feet and a lamp to our path. We want to give thanks for its authority over us. We want to give thanks that you inspired it through the power of your Holy Spirit to those writers writing your infallible, perfect word all those years ago. Father, we give thanks for its ability to transform and to change lives, that it's a sword, Father, that penetrates deep into our souls and even exposes our sin. Father, we want to give thanks for the way that you use your word to open blind eyes and to speak to dull hearts. And this morning, Father, we would confess that naturally our eyes are blind and naturally our hearts are dull. And it's only through the illumination of your Holy Spirit working in us, Father, that we can see, that we can comprehend, that we can understand and take on board spiritual truth. So, Father, we give thanks for your word. We ask that you would help us now. I pray, Father, that you'd help me to explain things clearly and in a relevant way. And we pray all these things now for the glory of Christ alone. Amen. So this morning, we're going to spend a... Robin? Could you just remove the bulletin from over the projector? That's great. Oh, let's go back a little bit. There we are. So this morning we are going to be thinking about this question here on the screen. What is an ambassador? What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ? I'm not sure whether you're in the practice of choosing a scripture verse to help give you some spiritual focus for the new year or the year ahead. But if you aren't, then I'd like to suggest that maybe one verse to think about having for the year ahead might be 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 from the reading that was read for us earlier on. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When I was at home in Edinburgh, I read an article in the newspaper there about a letter that Sir Alex Ferguson, the manager of Manchester United, had written to a soldier in Afghanistan in order to encourage him. I would have thought that it would have said something like, you know, be really careful, keep your head down at all times, you know, be really careful where you step, and those kinds of things. But actually what really struck me was that the main thing that he said was to keep focused and make sure you do not lose your concentration for one moment. Make sure you keep focused and do not lose your concentration for one moment. And yes, that would be my prayer for each of us here this morning, that God would use this verse of scripture to help those of us who love him and know him, those of us who are Christians, to keep focus on what God has called us to as individuals and maybe as a church as well. I'm not sure what springs to mind for you, but when I hear the word ambassador, several things spring to mind. One is that I always think an ambassador is somebody who's very, very special and important, like this very important-looking man here on the screen. I think of a lifestyle of sort of very high-powered and important meetings, like obviously the one which is maybe taking place there. I think of nice cars. I think of nicer, luxurious hotels. I think of a very sort of flash, sort of perhaps opulent lifestyle with cocktail parties and meeting interesting and exciting folk. If we were going to the Oxford English Dictionary, on the other hand, this is what it would say an ambassador is. So this is the dictionary definition. Number one, it says that an ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, appointed and accredited as representative in residence by one government or sovereign to another, usually for a specific length of time. And then it gives a second definition as well, that an ambassador is an authorized messenger or representative. And I guess that probably sums up what we are looking at. And ambassador is an authorized messenger or representative. But what does that actually mean for us? And maybe what does it mean for us here to be called Ambassador International Church? Now, I'm not sure if any of you have been around long enough to remember this, but of course one reason we're called Ambassador International Church is because we used to meet at the Ambassador Hotel over in Kowloon. But it's also because of the scripture passage that we read from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 20, which is on the screen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So then I think from this scripture passage that being an ambassador involves three things. And the first of them, I think, is receiving a message or receiving the message. And so what is the message that we have received? Well, if you look at the verse there in verse 18, it says that all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the message of reconciliation. Verse 19, immediately after it, says that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So what we learn about this message? Well, we learn that this message is a message that is from God. God is its originator. God is the author of the message. Then we also learn that it's a message that is about reconciliation. The word reconciliation pretty much means to make peace with someone. To make peace with someone. And so this is a message that God has made peace with us through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, not counting men's sins against them. And so this is the message of the gospel, that although each of us is naturally hostile towards God, we are naturally alienated from him, we are naturally separated from him, we are naturally rebels against him, that God, in his grace and in his love and in his mercy, has made a way for us through Christ to be reconciled to him and to enter into a loving, intimate relationship with him as his people. We can summarize the message, as is often done, with these kinds of headings there on the screen. First of all, that God made us to know him and be in relationship with him. But everyone has sinned and is separated from God, and so we are hostile to him and are deserving only of his wrath and his condemnation. But out of love, God sent Christ to come to earth to die as a perfect substitute for each of our sins, taking the punishment on the cross that we all deserved. Jesus rose from the dead, thus showing that his sacrifice for sins was successful and that he will one day come again to judge the world in righteousness and truth. And now, therefore, he commands all people everywhere to repent and to put their faith in him so that they can be reconciled towards God and have peace with him. And that's the message of the Christian gospel, the message that Christians believe and teach. And that's the message of reconciliation that it's speaking about here, and the message of reconciliation that we have been entrusted with as ambassadors of Christ. There's a book called The Railway Man by a guy called Eric Lomax, and he's from Edinburgh, where I'm from, and he was one of the many soldiers who was captured by the Japanese in Singapore and forced to work on the railways. He was tortured. He was deprived of food. He suffered terribly from a disease and from a lack of health care and from malnutrition. He watched as several of his friends were murdered by some of the guards, and there was actually the face of one Japanese soldier in particular who was an interpreter who he really remembered. And this face of this particular soldier, he recalls in his book, haunted his dreams and made him long for revenge and retribution after the war. About 40 or 50 years passed after the cessation of hostilities in 1945, and Eric Lomax was doing some research for the book he was writing, The Railway Man. And in the course of the research that he was doing, he discovered that this one soldier was actually still alive in Japan. And so he records in his book how he made the decision to go over to Japan in order to meet him and be reconciled towards him. And he records in his book, very movingly, actually, how the two of them met, how hard it actually was, but that they actually ended up becoming friends in their old age, and they were reconciled to one another in spite of all the horrors which had gone on previously. It was actually made into a TV program in the UK under the title Enemy, My Friend. Enemy, My Friend. And that's actually a pretty good summary, I think, of the Christian gospel as well. Enemy, My Friend. And in some small way, and any human illustration is obviously always going to be a very perfect thing, but in some small way, that is how God treats us. Except that God, of course, did not just fly halfway around the world to meet us and to be reconciled to us, But actually, God came into our world to be one of us. Came into our world to be one of us, to take our sin and the punishment that we deserve on himself by dying on the cross. As it summarizes so well for us here in verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so if you're here and a Christian this morning, then this message of reconciliation is something to be enthusiastic about, and it's something to really rejoice in. It is God's amazing grace expressed towards us. And it's also something that should motivate us as Christians as well. So we aren't to be telling people this message out of guilt, but rather out of gratitude for what God has done for us. God has reconciled us to himself and given us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, he says, we are Christ's ambassadors. So then, if that's what the message is, where do we find this message? Well, we find it in the Bible, and therefore God's Word. The Bible must be central in all that we do. It must be central in these services as we meet. It must be central in our small groups. It must be central in our preaching. It must be central in our evangelism, and maybe when we meet together one-to-one as well. That's where we find the message that we have as Christ's ambassadors. So it's not like that we receive this message of the gospel when we become Christians, and then we sort of need to move on to something else in order to grow as a Christian. That's not how it works at all. Rather, being a Christian, as well as becoming a Christian, is actually all about this message of the gospel, as we maybe come to understand it more, as we come to glorify in it more, as we come to enjoy its message of grace and mercy and transformation more, as we keep on going over it time and time again, and it becomes more precious and more special to us, as it means more to us, as we go deeper into it, and as we begin to work out its implications in each of our lives and for our relationships, and even for wider society as well. So I thought I'd give you some examples of how the gospel maybe works out at different stages of our Christian life. So I suppose most obviously the gospel is how we start the Christian life. So we start the Christian life as we say sorry to God for our sins, and we ask him to come in and forgive us and transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then the gospel is not only how we start the Christian life, the gospel is how we go on in the Christian life as well. The gospel is also how we live as a Christian in the world. So it helps us to come to a church, for instance, week by week with the right attitude. So I come to church each week by week remembering that Christ loved me and Christ gave himself for me on the cross. That's the message of the gospel. And therefore I come to church ready to serve. I come to church ready to love others and lay down my life for them. Then I think the gospel also helps us in things like our marriages, for instance. So I find this really helpful in my own marriage, that the gospel helps me to be really upfront and realistic about what I'm actually like. The gospel teaches that I have sinned. It teaches that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and therefore I know that I'm going to sin, I'm going to mess up, and therefore I need to be ready to say sorry and to admit when I've been wrong and apologize towards my wife. I need to be humble enough to actually do that. And it's the gospel, the message of the gospel, which actually teaches me to do that and to live with the right attitude. And then, of course, as well, the gospel also gives me great hope and confidence in my marriage too, because I can look at the cross and I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm accepted, I know that I'm loved, I know that God's chosen me, and therefore I know that God is working in me to make me a more holy and a more righteous and a more loving husband or friend or father or spouse or whatever it happens to actually be. He's working in me to transform me through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so the gospel gives me incredible hope as well. And so can you begin to see how the gospel actually does work its way out every day in our lives to actually really help resolve some of the very practical problems and issues that each of us come across? You see, the gospel's wonderful. It's the greatest news that there is, and it's the most practical and pastoral thing that there is as well, because we can apply it to each and every situation which we come across, and it helps us every day if we will allow it to. So that's the start of our Christian life. It's how we live the Christian life, and it's also very important at the end of the Christian life as well. The end of my life, if I'm lying in a hospital ward and you happen to come and see me when I'm lying in that hospital bed and I'm about to leave this world, what do I want to hear from you? What I need to hear from you at that point is the gospel. What I want to hear from you, what I want you to remind me of, is the gospel, that God is not counting my sins against me because of what Christ has done for me on the cross, so I can die with peace and confidence and stand in God's presence, knowing that I am clothed with Christ's righteousness and not my own. That's what I want to hear on that day, and that is the Christian gospel. It works at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Christian life. What I need to hear is right here, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the gospel there, the great exchange right at the heart of history, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, to be sin for me, so that in him I might wear Christ's righteousness rather than my own old sinful clothes. I think so many of us often spend our Christian lives looking for some secret formula, for some secret experience, but for some crucial key, and once we find this one thing, our whole Christian life is going to suddenly and amazingly work. But, you know, I'm not sure that's how it actually works. Rather, I think it's the simple gospel that we always need. That's how we start, that's how we go on, and that's also how we need to end as well. It's about realizing that I am a sinner and returning to Christ every day to ask for his forgiveness and his help to actually change. That is all we ever need. And so an ambassador, therefore, is someone who receives a message. They must hear the message, they must understand it, and they must pass the message on to someone else. And so I guess the first questions for us here this morning are, have we actually received this gospel message which I have been talking about? Have we actually received this gospel message which I have been talking about? If so, I want to have you understood this gospel message. Could you articulate how the different parts of it, those five or six headings that we looked at, do you know how all those different headings fit together? Are we growing in the gospel and in our glory in it and our understanding of it? Are we living out the gospel every day, using it to help us and solve the problems which we come across in our lives? Could we maybe explain the gospel to someone else if they asked us what Christians believe? So then, an ambassador is someone who receives a message, and then secondly, they're also someone who guards a message as well. And this is guarding the message. You see, if there was an ambassador who couldn't remember the message, maybe, or if he chose to alter the message or to change it along the way, then there would be absolutely chaos, and there'd be misunderstanding. And that, in history, of course, is how wars have sometimes started. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Paul says that the message is like a treasure. It's something valuable. There we go, there's some treasure there. And then in 2 Timothy 1, verse 13 to 14, Paul says that we need to guard it. He says, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." So he's telling us that we need to guard the gospel. the big news story in the UK at the moment is still the engagement of Prince William and Kate Middleton. And just for all you women out there, there's a picture of the ring, which of course is famous because it's the same one that Princess Diana had. And if you listen to the interview which Prince William and Kate gave when they got engaged, then you'll have basically heard Prince William talk about how he carried this little box with this ring in it round Africa for 3 weeks in his rucksack while he sort of, summoned up the courage to propose. And he basically described how he would constantly look after it. It was in his pocket all the time. How he would constantly guard it and take it out and would look at it and make sure it was okay. And he wouldn't let it out of his sight, even for a moment. And why did he do that? Well, the reason, of course, he did that was because the ring is so valuable and so precious. And so he wanted to make sure that he was guarding it constantly. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying that as ambassadors of Christ, that we are to be like Prince William with that ring, with the gospel. We are to guard it. If Prince William put that much effort into guarding this precious ring that had been entrusted to him, then how much more should we be careful about guarding the precious and valuable gospel which has been entrusted to us? We are to hold on to the message and we are to guard it because it's valuable. But then why do we need to guard it? What do we need to guard it against? Well, I think for us here, there are two possible dangers. First of all, there's what I've called the danger of distortion. So I guess this might happen if we leave something out of the message, or also if we add something in to the message as well. So for instance, I suppose we might be tempted to neglect something like sin, or maybe talking about Christ's lordship over all of life, or maybe talking about God's wrath and his judgment, maybe. So we might be tempted to neglect something like that. Equally, we might be tempted to add something in and saying, in order to be right with God, you also need works. Or you need some sort of a religious ritual, like being baptized, maybe. And we add something on to the gospel like that. But instead, God is telling us that an ambassador guards the message. Just like it would be a disaster for Prince William if he dropped the ring and chipped it or maybe lost a few diamonds from it, so it is with us. We must be careful to guard the message against any distortion where we add to it or take away from it. As it says in Jude 3, we must contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. It's ours to guard, not to distort. However, there's something far more common than the danger of distortion, and that, of course, is the danger of distraction. It may be that for many of us, we are saying, well, I would be never tempted to water down or alter the Christian message, but yet what's surely a far greater problem for many of us might be getting distracted from it and sidetracked from the task in hand of being an ambassador for Christ. And so what things, I wonder, can you think of that might lead us here in Hong Kong to maybe forgetting about, to maybe being distracted from the message that we have received? Well, there's some of them here. One is maybe Korea. That can be one distraction from the message for us, can't it? Maybe another one is busyness. Maybe you would like to write a book called How Did I Get So Busy? Or maybe that picture of that woman there reminds you of what you're like on a Monday morning. Maybe travel. Maybe you're only out here for a few months or a few years, and so you think, well, I really want to make sure I travel as much as I can while I'm in Asia. But that's actually ended up distracting you from being an ambassador for Christ and making the most of the opportunities for him while you're here in Hong Kong. Maybe here's one, there's some Hong Kong money there. Maybe money is a distraction for some of us. There's another one that might be an issue for some of us as well, that actually distracts us from being an ambassador for Christ, the distraction of family. Or maybe it's leisure. I'm not sure which of those two alternatives you like. I could say several things here, but I'm in the risk of not offending anyone. I'm going to keep quiet. But things like playing, golf maybe, recreation, or maybe all those wonderful shopping malls that we have here in Hong Kong can be something of a distraction for you as well. Now, the main point here, of course, is that all these things are actually good things, right? All of these things listed there are all, in and of themselves, good things. But the whole point is that they are good, and that's why they can be so distracting and so subtle for many of us. They are good things, but they can distract us from faithfully passing on the message which we have been given. See, Hong Kong, I think, is actually a very difficult place to be a Christian. I think this is a tough place to be a Christian precisely because there are so many good and subtle distractions here. And I know just for me personally, it's very easy for me to get distracted from the message and to keep on target. And so that's one reason why it's important for us to come here regularly to meet together. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And so this is why church, why Christian fellowship and Christian friends are such an important part of our Christian life. We come together to keep one another on track spiritually and to encourage one another lest we get distracted from the task of passing on this message by all the subtle and good distractions which are going on around us. And so maybe in the coming year, in 2011, one good resolution that you could maybe make would be to make sure that you are meeting with God's people regularly. That church is not just one of many options at the weekend, but it's actually a real priority because you know that you need it to keep focused in your spiritual life. You see, it's a lot easier to keep on track being an ambassador for Christ if you're actually meeting with other ambassadors for Christ as well, and being encouraged by them altogether. So then, we need to guard the message. An ambassador is someone who receives the message. Then secondly, there's someone who guards the message. And then finally, we also see that they are someone who spreads the message. So we are to announce the message, of course. We're to speak it. We're to spread it. But we are not to spread it like someone reading the news. Rather, we are to be passionate about it. Paul here says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf." We implore you. You can almost hear the feeling and the passion there in what he's actually saying. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. We plead with you. We appeal to you. Be reconciled to the God who made you. And we're here, we're to be ambassadors to the English-speaking community in Hong Kong. Now, some of us here are, of course, ambassadors to other communities here in Hong Kong as well, and that's great. But we are all here at least ambassadors to the English-speaking community in Hong Kong, because that's obviously the language that we use when we meet. But what does that look like? What does it actually look like for us to be working together to spread the message, or if you like, what does it mean for us to be a member of this church? I think there's a few things that we could maybe say. One might be speaking. We're to speak the gospel to people as we have the opportunity. And there you can see this lady speaking to the man. As we saw when we looked from Mark's gospel recently at the parable of the sower in Mark 4, we're all to be involved in spreading the seed of the word here in Hong Kong, so that it might grow and take root, and will hopefully grow and produce a crop. So there's speaking, and we can also say inviting as well, and this man here is inviting his neighbour. You see, some of us might feel that we're not very good at speaking, but yet we will be able to invite other people along to come to church, to come along and maybe hear somebody else explain the message for them, even if we can't. You see, I think we often fall into the trap of thinking that church is only for Christians, But actually, statistics show that most people become Christians as adults simply by coming along to church. And so we don't need to wait for a special event. We don't need to wait for a special guest service or Christianity Explored course or Alpha or anything like that. But rather, we can just invite people along and trust that whatever's being preached on that particular day will speak to them, and that God will do his work. All of us should also be ready to answer people's questions too. So 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says that we should always be ready to give an answer to each one who asks for the hope that we have within us. We may not all feel like gifted evangelists. We may not all have the answers to every question, but God has promised that he will be with us and that he will help us, and that he will use whatever we say for his glory. So we can be really encouraged through that, even if we don't feel maybe that we are particularly good evangelists or witnesses. This is speaking and inviting. Then thirdly, there's living. This girl here is living like Christ in her workplace or in her university library. And as ambassadors, we should be living the kind of lives that make the gospel attractive. I really like the true story of the husband who had finally become a Christian. And when he was asked what finally won him to Christ, he said, a few good sermons and 20 years of observing my wife. What finally led him to Christ was a few good sermons and 20 years of observing my wife. You see, living is so important, isn't it? Part of what it means to be an ambassador is simply living a consistent, dedicated, loving, joyful, thought-through, honest, committed Christian life that makes Christ attractive and winsome to others. And we also are praying as well. These people there are praying. And the book of Colossians in chapter 4 tells us to pray for opportunities to speak the gospel. So we can pray for opportunities for ourselves, for our friends, and for the church as a whole, for opportunities to be ambassadors for Christ. Then one last one is giving. Giving, of course, includes both of our resources of time and money. I guess for many of us here, our most valuable resource is our time. Sometimes we might be tempted to think, though, that giving money is somehow unspiritual or insignificant, but actually it's something that's part of our worship towards God and is essential for our own spiritual health and growth as well. Giving resources of time and money, serving maybe. And so what this is saying is that we all have a role to play in being ambassadors as we spread the message through things like speaking, inviting, living, praying, and giving. And there's other ones that we could mention as well. And what really strikes me here is that all these are actually very small things. All these are small things, but they are small things that are within the grasp of all of us here and that all of us can be doing to promote Christ and his gospel every week. And it's my prayer maybe that over the coming year that we would be growing in all of these things. You see, these are small things, but yet when we all do them, they can have a large impact for Christ in his world. And maybe I think one of the most helpful ways of thinking about this is that we are all in partnership together. And that's basically how I see us working as a local church, that we are links in a chain where we are all working together to be ambassadors to the English-speaking community in Hong Kong. And so we all need one another, like links. And we can see this very easily. For instance, just think about all the different people it takes to make our Sunday morning church meetings work. So it needs somebody to preach. It needs somebody to do the service sheets. It needs the musicians to practice and be organized and come along. It needs someone to lead. It needs someone to do the overheads and the projector. It needs someone to teach at creche and in Sunday school. It needs someone to bring the refreshments for afterwards. It needs someone to liaise with the hotel. It needs someone to look after the finances. It needs someone to come along and bring the bread and the wine for communion. And of course, none of those things can ever happen unless people are actually giving. And of course, none of them are going to do any good at all unless people are actually praying and are actually inviting other people to come along. And so we all need one another. We are all partners in it together. We are to be partners together with one another to be ambassadors for Christ here. When I was at home in the UK, it was really good to have the opportunity to do lots of reading. And one of the things that I got to read while I was at home was a new biography of the Christian leader John Stott. He was minister at a place called All Souls Church in London for something like 60 years. And I was very struck by the fact that one of the first things he did when he became rector of that congregation was to encourage his congregation in evangelism. And this is what he said to them when he did that. "The question which rests most heavily on my heart at present is how to reach the hungry multitudes who are without Christ. God has entrusted to us the care of some 12,000 souls living within this part of London. We have an unmistakable, inescapable responsibility towards our neighbours who are strangers to Christ and his gospel of grace. This responsibility is clearly shared by the whole congregation. The task of evangelism cannot be delegated to the few. Worship and witness go hand in hand. We are called to worship and we are called to witness." We are called to worship and we are called to witness. You see, church is not just for those who are Christians, but it's for those who aren't yet Christians as well. And that's the challenge for us to be partners together to reach the hungry multitudes here in Hong Kong who do not yet know Christ and his gospel of grace. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you, we plead with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, make your peace with him. And so that's my prayer for myself this coming year. Do pray for me that I might fulfill that. And I would ask you maybe if you would like to make it your prayer for this year as well, that we would be those who receive the gospel message and live it out, that we might be those who guard the gospel message and keep focused on it and don't get distracted by all that is going on around us, and that we might be those who are looking to spread the gospel message to others as we all work together in a partnership for the gospel. God has given us a message. He has made us his ambassadors, and therefore we have the tremendous privilege of working with him and working with others to share that to the hungry multitudes here in Hong Kong. So let's rely on his help, and let's rely on his strength, and let's rely on his helping us through his Holy Spirit to actually do that as individuals and as a church. Let's pray together. So we'll have some quiet, and we'll spend a few moments just praying and reflecting on God's word to us this morning, maybe thinking particularly about one of those headings on the screen perhaps that might be most relevant for us: receiving the message, guarding the message, or spreading the message. And then after we've had a few moments quiet for us to respond in prayer in our own hearts, then Andrew will come up and lead the rest of the service for us.